This is the OU Nachyomi podcast of Nehemiah, Perek Yud Gimel, Chapter 13, delivered by Ellie Fisher. So this is the last chapter of Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, and it discusses several of the actions, several of the things that Nehemiah did during his tenure. Pasuk Aleph. Bayomahu nikra b'sefer Moshe ba'ozne ha'am. So it was on that day, right, so this is soon after the whole Chanukat HaBayit and Chanukat HaChoma, really, the dedication of the wall. Nikra b'sefer Torah b'sefer Moshe ba'ozne ha'am. They were reading it. V'nimtza katuv bo. They found that it says in it, shelo yavo amoni moavi b'kal Elokim ad olam, that an amoni or moavi can never enter the community of God. Because they didn't meet the Bnei Israel with bread and water, by Skarlov at Bilam Lekalalo, and they hired Bilam to curse them. But God turned his curse into a blessing. Vayhi kishamamet haTorah vayavdilu kol erev miYisrael. When they heard the Torah, they separated and all of the multitude, any alien mixture, away from Yisrael, right? So it doesn't necessarily logically follow, because it says no amoni moavi, and it says that they got rid of everybody. But it's similar to what we've already seen, that there was an expansion of the forbidden nations from from the ones listed explicitly in the Torah to include everybody. But beforehand. Right, so now you're going to have a little bit of a back and forth. It's going to be hard to keep the chronology in order, but so this is happening now, right? This is happening right after Bayomahu, right after the building of the wall. But before that, Eliyashiva Kohen Natun Belishkat Beit Elokeinu Karov Lituvia. Eliyashiva Kohen, who was in the chamber of the Beit Hamikdash, Karov Lituvia, was related to Tovia. Tovia was an Amoni. Vayaslo lishka gedola, v'shama yu lufanim notnim et ha-mincha ha-levona v'ha-kelim u-ma'asar ha-dagan ha-tirosh v'ha-yitzar mitzvat ha-leviyim ha-mishorim ha-shoarim u-trumat ha-kohanim. And he made a big office for him in the Beit HaMikdash, where beforehand they would put the meal offerings and the frankincense and all of the vessels and the miser and the grain and of the oil and of the wine, which was commanded to the Leviim and to the singers and to the gatekeepers, and the truma that goes to the Kohanim. Uvuchol zeh lo hayiti b'Yerushalayim. And this whole time, I wasn't in Yerushalayim. Ki v'shnat 32 la'artach shas to melech bavel, vati el ha-melech, ul'ketz ha-yamim nishalti min ha-melech. Because in the 32nd year of the king Artaxerxes, I went to the king, and after a while, I asked to leave the king, I asked to leave again. So Nehemiah really had two terms in Eretz Yisrael. So what happens is that, meaning Eliyashiv had been allied with Tuvia the whole time. Right, and then when Nehemiah's there, he doesn't try anything. But then when Nehemiah leaves, Eliyashiv comes and sets his buddy Tuvia up in the Beit Hamikdash. And now Nehemiah is going to come back. Vavol Yerushalayim, I came back to Yerushalayim. Vavino Bara'ah, and I perceived the evil Asher Asal Eliyashiv LeTuvia that Eliyashiv did for Tuvia. Lasot Bo Nishka B'Chazrei Beit Elokeinu, to make him an office in the courtyards of Hashem. And it was very bad for me. Right? It really grieved me. I threw all of the vessels of Tuvia's house out of the office. And I commanded, and they purified all of the offices. And I returned the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash there, and the meal offerings and the frankincense. So he really goes to it. He comes back and he evicts him. He throws him out. The next thing he does, Pasuk Yud, Ve'eda ki minayot ha-leviim lo nitana. Right, that the portions of the Levim were not being given. And people were evading their fields, from the Levim, You know, everybody fled to their field, and they didn't give anything to the Levim and to the singers and to those who did the work. Riva et haskanim, and I fought with the rulers of Omran. I said, Madua ne'ezav beit Elokim, why is God's house being abandoned? Ve'pitzeim v'amidein alamdom, I gathered them together, stood them in their places. V'chol Yehuda yivu masara dagon v'atirosh v'yitzar lo tzarot, all of Yehuda brought a tithe of the grain and of the oil and of the wine to the treasuries. Va'otzra al otzarot shelemya hakohen v'tzadok hasofer. Right, and I made treasurers over these treasuries, shelemya the kohen and tzadok the scribe, ufidaya min halaviyim and pidaya of the levi, v'al yadam chanan ben zakur ben matanya, and through them, next to them, was chanan. Because they were considered trustworthy, and they were enjoined. They were, you know, their job was to distribute it to their brothers. Now it's interesting that it was the Levim that didn't get theirs, right? The Kohanim were getting theirs. There's a concept that comes, you know, there's a concept called demai. Demai is something that. We're sure that Truma has been taken, but we're not sure that Meiser has been taken. Meaning everything that's supposed to go to the Kohanim has been taken, but the stuff that's not going, that's supposed to go to the Levim wasn't necessarily taken. The reason that the Kohanim, the stuff was given to the Kohanim more readily than it was given to the Levim is because there's a conceptual difference between the Truma that was given to the Kohanim and the Meiser that was given to the Levi. The Truma that was given to the Kohen is ultimately, essentially, being given to God, and the Kohanim were eating, as it were, from God's table, right? What the Gemara calls Mishulchan Gavoa Ka'achlu. They were eating from God's table. The Levim, though, you were giving it directly to the Levi, right? And there's also a difference in punishment. A non-Kohen who eats Truma, or somebody that fails to take Truma, the penalty is the death penalty. Eating tevel or eating truma while in a state of tuma, even a kohen eating truma in the state of tuma, or eating tame truma, right, is a death penalty because it's as it were you're usurping something from God. But when it comes to the levia, it's something that you owe, but it's not something that's sanctified. So conceptually, people didn't feel as that developed into this consciousness where people weren't as makpid on giving things to the Levim as they were about giving things to the Kohanim. So that's what Nehemiah has to come here and deal with. Pasuk Yud Dalid. Zachra li Elokai al zos, God remember me for this, v'al temach chasadi asher asiti v'veit Elokai v'mishmarav. And don't wipe out the kindness that I did in the house of my God and on the those who are serving there. Tedvav. So we're talking about Shabbat. Okay. Vayamim hahema. In those days, ra'iti b'Yehuda dorchim gitot b'Shabbat. I saw in Yehuda saw people that were trampling in wine presses on Shabbat. Right, that's an Isser del Raita, that's Schita. Umevin ha'aremot v'ha'omsim al hachamorim, v'afyayim v'anavim uteinim v'chol masah umevim liyushalayim. And then they were bringing heaps of corn and donkeys that were full of grain and wine and grapes and figs and all kinds of other things. They brought them to Yerushalayim b'yom haShabbat, on Shabbat, va'id b'yom mechram tzayid. And I warned them on the day that they sold their stuff, their groceries. So you have here things that are deoraita and things that are derabanan. You have things that are deoraita, such as schita and me'amer and hotza'ah. And you also have derabanans. Commerce is derabanan. And certain types of carrying are derabanan. So v'hatzorim, right? And we know that at this point you could talk about having a level of derabanan of Shabbat, meaning a non-biblical level of Shabbat observance, as we saw in previous chapters. Batsorim, right, so these people of Tyre, right, which means merchants, Yashvuva, they dwell in Yerushalayim, Eviim, Dog v'chomecher, they brought fish and all kinds of other things to sell. Mochrim v'Shabbat levnei Yehuda of Yerushalayim, and they were selling on Shabbat to the people of Yehuda, and they were selling in Yerushalayim. V'ariva et chorei Yehuda, and I fought with the noblemen of Yehuda. V'omrelahem, and I said to them, Madavar ra'zeh asher atem ozim, what's this wicked thing that you're doing? Mechalalim et yom haShabbat, and you are violating, you're profaning the day of Shabbat. Hello, koasu, this is what they, this is. This is what your fathers did. And that's why God. This is what your fathers did, and that's why God brought all this evil upon us, and on this city. And you're bringing more wrath onto Israel by violating, by profaning the Shabbat. When the gates of Yerushalayim began to become, you know, shady, right? Meaning it began to, you know, Friday afternoon, Fnei Shabbat, Vomra, and I said, you know, and I commanded it, Vayisgru at Latot, and they closed the doors, Vomra, Shelo Yifchatu Marachar Shabbat, and they said, don't, and I said, don't open them until after Shabbos, Umin Neharaihe, Marati Al Sharim, and I appointed some of my boys, some of my servants, on the gates, lo yavo masa b'yom haShabbat. I commanded them, and I said, no burdens should be brought in on Shabbat. And the peddlers, right, and the sellers, they sat, you know, they sat outside Yerushalayim once or twice, and then I warned them, and I commanded them, madua atem lenim neged achoma, why are you lying over there next to the wall? Im tishnu yadashlach machem. If you do it again, I'm going to go after you. And from then on, they didn't come on Shabbat. Right? So, once again, Nehemiah, he comes back and he transforms. He turns Friday night into Shabbos, right? And he commands them, no, you can't come. None of this is going to happen on Shabbos. And he shores up Shabbos. We can refer back to that Rambam that I alluded to the other day, that, you know, the Shabbos, the way that Shabbos is observed in a city is very different to the way that it's observed on a farm. So, you know, like limiting Mekach u'Memkar and limiting Tiltul, right, moving things and carrying things and selling and buying, those are the things that in an urban setting have to really be stopped on Shabbat if there's going to be a Shabbat environment. Okay. Gam bayamim ha'hem. Also, in those days, ra'iti et ha'yehudim shivu nashim ashdodiyot amoniyot moaviyot. I saw that the Jews had returned their ashdodite Moav, Amon, and Moavite white wives. Uvneim chatzim medaber ashdodit ve'inam akirim medaber yehudit. Right, and their sons, they spoke half the speech of Ashdod. And they didn't know how to speak Yiddish, or the language of other people. You know, obviously, it's not talking about the Yiddish language. It's talking about, but it's also not clear exactly what language it is talking about. It may be talking about Aramaic. It may be talking about Hebrew. But it says they didn't know how to speak Jewish. Right? That's how my grandfather used to call Yiddish. You know, he said, you have to learn how to speak Jewish. But he said that they didn't know how to speak, you know, Va'arivira imam. And so I fought with them. Third time he's picking a fight, this perek. Va'akalalim, I cursed them. Va'akamehem anashim v'amretem. And I hit some of them, and I pulled out their hair. Va'ashpiyem v'alokim, and I swore them to, by God. Im titnuv no techem livneihem, if you give your daughters to their sons, im tisumi b'no tehem, or if you marry their daughters, livneihem, to your sons, v'lochem, or to yourselves, halo al elech chata Shlomo HaMelech Yisrael v'agoyim ha'rabim lo ha'melech kamohu. This is how Shlomo HaMelech sinned, right? And amongst the many nations there was no king like him, v'ahuv le'lo havaya, and he was beloved to his God, v'yitneu elokim melech al kol Yisrael, and God made him king on all Israel, gam oto ichtiu anashim anochriot, but he was led astray by his foreign wives, v'lachem hanishma la'asot et kol ha'ra'a gedola hazot l'mol be'lokenu, l'ashiv nashim nochriot. Shall we then? Are we gonna listen to you to do? You know, are we gonna countenance this, that you do all of this evil, right? To trespass against God and to return, right? And to return to your foreign women. And one of the sons of Yoyada, the son of Eliashiv, the high priest, was the son-in-law to Sanballat, the Chorani, and so I chased him away. It's an interesting thing here that, you know, what's Nehemiah's issue with intermarriage here? Right? You say that obviously there's intermarriage going on. So what Nehemiah says is, it's not intermarriage itself. He's saying that intermarriage means that your kids aren't going to be Jewish. Intermarriage means that your kids are going to be like only partially Jewish, right? They're not going to know how to speak Yiddish. They're not going to know how to speak the Jewish language. So his issue isn't intermarriage per se. His issue is assimilation. This is slightly different from what we had seen before. What we saw before was that, you know, intermarriage is about avodah zarah. Intermarriage is about an actual, right? There's an iser, lo tetchatein bam, that intermarriage is an actual transgression, and you know that transgression was expanded to include these other nations. Nehemiah is taking a different line here. He's taking a different argument, and he's saying, basically, we're a minority culture. The only way that our culture is going to survive, and this is Ezra, this is Nehemiah l'shitato, right? This is what Nehemiah has been doing. This is what Nehemiah is all about. Nehemiah is all about building the wall and making sure that there's a culture in Yerushalayim. He's about shoring up things to make sure that the Jewish culture really remains distinct. Of all the people that that made sure that Judaism maintained itself as a distinct culture in this time, right? Nehemiah was the guy that really took those steps, right? And so him, you know, his take on intermarriage is not intermarriage per se. His take on intermarriage is going to be assimilation, and then there's going to be no Jewish people. It's going to be this somewhat Jewish, somewhat Ashdodi, somewhat Ammoni, somewhat Moavi mishkababel of peoples, and that's what we can't have. Zechra le'alahem elokai. Right, remember them, oh my God, right? Pasuk Chavtet, al Ga'ali HaKehuna, Ga'ale HaKehuna, on those who defiled the Kehuna, Uvrita Kehuna v'Halavim, and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levim, Utehartim Mikol Nechar, and I cleanse them from everything foreign, va'amida mishmarot lekohanim v'alaviim ish b'mlachto, and I created shifts for the kohanim and the leviim, for each one to do their work. This theme of Nehemiah, meaning of the idea of being mitaher the kehuna from these influences, is a theme that's very prominent in the book of Malachi. We can even take a look in the book of Malachi. Now remember that this is around the time that Malachi is written. Right? We don't know exactly who Malachi is. One of the opinions is that Malachi is Ezra, but it's clear that it's around this time. If you take a look in the second parak of Malachi, he talks about the ideal Kohen. Liot briti et Levi, amar Hashem tzvakot, briti hayta ito achayim ha-shalom, v'atnem lo mora v'ayiruni, v'ipnei shemi nachatu. And he continues, like he says, Siftei Kohen Yishmeru Da'at V'tori Yavakshu Mipihu, that the Kohen is supposed to be the guardian of the faith and the teacher of Torah and an angel of God. V'atem, but you, Sartim in Aderach, you turned away from the proper way. Chshaltem Rabim B'Torah, and you've caused many to stumble in the Torah. Shichatem Brita Levi, you've corrupted the covenant of Levi, Amar Hashem Tzvakot. So that's, you know, that's the same it's a similar theme to what Nehemiah's talking about here. Remember them, that they, you know, that they defiled the Kahuna and the Leviah, and remember me, because I cleansed them from this, and I restored the Kohanim and the Leviim to what they're supposed to be. And the fact that I return the bringing of the Eitzim at particular times, right? We had mentioned this already, that he made them, he set up a cycle so that people would bring Eitzim, because Eitzim weren't as readily available as they had once been. V'la Bikurim, and also for the Bikurim, Zechra li Elokai l'Torah, God, please remember me for good. Now it's interesting, of all the things that Nehemiah does, right? And Nehemiah did a lot of things, right? In terms of what he did, in terms of building the wall around Yerushalayim, and what he did in terms of gaining certain concessions from Bavel, and what he did in terms of throwing Tuvia out of the Beit Beit HaMikdash, right? He doesn't mention any of that here. What does he want to be remembered for? He wants to be remembered for reestablishing the Kahuna to be what it was supposed to be, and setting up some kind of schedule to bring the wood offerings and to bring the Bikurim. Right? So it's almost like, you know, Nehemiah has, there are two aspects. So one thing is that he wants to be remembered for something which is ongoing, not just a one-time thing. Right? He does several one-time things. Building the walls of Yerushalayim is a one-time thing. But it's also that he doesn't want to be remembered for being a strong man. He doesn't want to be remembered for being the guy that, you know, that cracked some skulls, that really, that stood up to Sanballat, and to really be the tough guy. He wants to be remembered as an effective administrator and as somebody that, that successfully set up the type of infrastructure that was able to carry on throughout Bayit Sheni. This concludes the series of Shirim on the book of Nehemiah and Ezra.